The fifth Sunday of ordinary time holds a special place in my heart. And you could say, well, what's so special about the fifth Sunday? It just seems so ordinary. But 2 years ago, I was ordained a deacon, and on this Sunday, I got to preach for the first time. And so it reminds me of the apostle speaking about preaching the gospel. And I have to say that there is not any more joy in this life than to share Jesus Christ with others. Truly. In our gospel today, we see Jesus trying, after he's done some healing miracles, to escape to a deserted place to go into solitude and prayer with his heavenly Father. And I love it because Simon Peter pursues Jesus. And he says something very significant. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Everyone. Everyone 2,000 years ago, and everyone in 2018. Whether they know it or not, everyone is looking for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this saying should be inscribed deeply within our hearts, deeply within our joint and marrow. It should rattle around inside of us unceasingly, day and night. It should preoccupy our thoughts. Everyone is looking for Jesus. And we hear the Apostle Paul in our epistle, the second reading, say, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe. Now, I had to look the word up to kind of get more precision of what the word woe means, because the Bible likes to use weird Bible words sometimes. Misery to me if I do not preach the gospel. Sadness to me if I do not preach the gospel. Sorrow for me if I do not preach the gospel. Why? Because everyone is looking for Jesus. Now, we live in a time where there's a lot of talk about fake news. It's constantly being talked about on the news. Even Pope Francis, our Holy Father, recently wrote his letter for the World Day of Communication on how in the church we need to be addressing the reality of making sure that we're countering fake news. Because as Christians, we want to stand as men and women firmly rooted in the truth. But let's be sure of one thing. The gospel is not fake news. The gospel is not a lie that was made up or conjured. It's not exaggerated stories that kind of sounds too good to be true and maybe was relatable to people 2,000 years ago, but that was Bible time and it has nothing really to do with us today, modern people. The gospel is good news and it is true news. Brothers and sisters, if you haven't been convicted of this already, please implore the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal to you the truth of the gospel. That, like the Apostle Paul when he encountered Jesus in his vision, the scales would be removed from your eyes to see the truth of Jesus. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Now, I was fascinated because recently, speaking of fake news and the gospel being true, one of our cultural idols, and I'll let her name remain anonymous, though I'm sure many people can guess, spoke on national television and talked about the most important thing in the world is that we each hold our personal truths. Your truth and my truth. That's what matters. It's your truth. Just live up to your truth. That's the situation we find ourselves in this time where we're so confused, so divided. Forgetting that there is no your truth and my truth. There is the truth. We each have our own experiences, of course, that should be respected. We each have our own histories. But Jesus Christ says very clearly in the Gospels, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for us, truth is not just abstract knowledge. Truth is a person, Jesus. Truth is a person who, when you have a relationship with him, you begin to see all things through that relationship. It transforms everything. This last week, I had to suffer being at a conference in Malibu, California. I know, poor me. Where it was 80 degrees and sunny. Oh, of course, the week before I was in St. Paul, Minneapolis, where there was 15 inches of snow. So within a period of a week, I saw it all. But it was amazing. It was a workshop on healing and deliverance ministry, and it was ecumenical. So I was there with many of our separated brethren, our Protestant brothers and sisters. And we had an incredible time praising the Lord and calling on the Holy Spirit just to anoint us and to bring further healing to the body of Christ, the church. But one of the themes that kept reoccurring in our time together was that we need to continue to make our churches healing communities. This assembly, this parish, is meant to be a healing community. So often, what happens in the church is that we start to get self-righteous. And we like to parade our own virtues and look down on others. But the gospel is made to be a medicinal thing given to sinners. This place should be a place, a parish, where each one of us learn first to let ourselves be seen by Jesus, to stop hiding in the darkness our sins, but to let Jesus look upon our sins and love us, to stop being afraid, to let down our guard, that he might look upon us as we truly are in our sinfulness. And then secondly, to become a place where we let ourselves be vulnerable and seen by our brothers and sisters. Of course, it takes great wisdom and prudence to know who you share your struggles and your sins with. But it's important for all of us that we're not walking this Christian walk alone. God never intended it to be just Jesus and you. But for our experience of him to be shared within the body of Christ so that healing can take place, so that he can remove the shamefulness of our sin that we often hide and suppress, and the shame that others feel in their own sinfulness, that we become a community that is truly a healing community, that the healing of Jesus flows into us and through us to others. Because the church is not for the perfect. News alert. We sometimes forget that. Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And all of us, every single person in this church, is the one that Jesus left the 99 to pursue. Each one of us is the sinner that Christ places on his shoulder and brings back to the Father's house. If we can remember that, then we can begin to act as what Henry Nouwen calls wounded healers, people who still have our own wounds and our own sin, but Jesus has begun to heal us, and we can reach out to the rest of the world who's wounded with the gospel of Jesus, the good news. If we can learn to stand before the cross of Christ with our own wounds and say, Jesus, this is me and my messiness, to be seen by him, then he will look with us and say, here are my wounds, and by my wounds you will be healed. But it means we have to learn to unveil our hurts and our wounds and our brokenness before the one whose body was broken for us. We have to stop pretending that we're perfect and let the grace of God begin to do its real transformational work. Because Christianity is about real transformation in Christ. We do not live in a graceless universe like some think. The grace of God is very real if we only open our hearts in truth to let Him transform us. And real holiness is possible. But it has to begin with us being vulnerable and to not pretend as we come before the Lord. To be a healing community. Everyone wants to see Jesus. The question is, are we going to be, as we are called as the body of Christ, the vehicle, the vessel in which God brings Jesus to the eyes of others to be seen? Is the way we love them and bring them in and share our own testimonies? We need to relearn to share our own testimonies, brothers and sisters, of what Christ has done for us with others, so that they too can be drawn in to this healing work, this transforming work of Christ. Woe to us if we do not preach the gospel, because it is a matter of life and death for others. I want to close with a line from Pope Benedict XVI. He wrote that seeing with the eyes of Christ, we can give others the look of love which they so deeply crave and desire. Seeing with the love of Christ, seeing with the eyes of Christ, we can give others the look of love they so crave and desire. May we be the vehicle which God uses, as truly everyone is looking for Jesus.